Thank you, Jerry, and we will throw the phone lines open. Actually, they're already open. We'll just talk to you now. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays lose it 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays before 48,414, and they're still kind of filing out here a little bit. The Blue Jays just didn't hit for a team that scored heck of a lot of runs, 23 in Baltimore, 38 runs in their first six games. They've now got 39 in their first seven, and it is the second time that they've scored just one run. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays at 4-3, so are the Rays. And it looks like the Orioles may soon be too. Boston at 5-2 atop the AL East here awful early on. We begin with Jason in Toronto listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jason, you're the leadoff man on the home opener Blue Jays talk.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Thanks for making it.
You know, I come down here every year, bring a big group of people, and I got to say it. Every year, it seems lately, the Jays lay a great big egg. It's tough to take. I know they're, you know, they win some and they lose some, but you kind of wish they would put in a better performance in the opener.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, the truth of the matter is, first of all, we all know baseball is hard. But second of all, if they could get hits whenever they wanted to, they'd score 30 runs a game every game.
I agree. But tonight you felt like they could have manufactured something a little bit there had they been smarter. I mean, my thing with the game tonight, I felt like I've watched a lot of ball. I love baseball. I felt like this is a particularly tough game to watch. A lot of my friends didn't like baseball. They were just bored to tears. We were just praying, you know, in the words of Greg Zahn, we were praying for Cal Ripken to fly in and ice somebody's genitals just to give us something to sort of talk about. I got ice my genitals already. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
But
thanks for the call. The Blue Jays are now 26-13 in home openers, though it's true they haven't been that successful lately. But look, you can't, just because there's a big crowd, you can't will yourself to be better. And unfortunately, they didn't do any hitting today. Neither did Tampa Bay. But R.A. Dickey gave them a couple of runs with a couple of bases loaded walks in the top of the fourth inning, and Tampa Bay wins it 2-1. Russ is in New Jersey. Russ, before you get to your question, I saw you get a baseball yesterday at Camden Yards. That must have been swell.
Yeah, well, you know, I got about four texts at the time, you know, text messages from people saying, nice catch. And I'm going,
who flipped it to you? What happened?
They show me on TV. They go, no, Mike Wilner just said they threw the ball to Russ. And I'm on. And someone sent me the clip today. So I thank you for the acknowledgement. I have to apologize to you, but you asked me for something at the home opener. At the opener,
it's okay. I was good.
I lost my phone at Yankee Stadium. Sy Davide was very kind to try to help me about an hour after the game ring my phone, but I couldn't find it. So the ticket cost me a little bit more than I paid for it because the phone was gone. But I plan on being there Wednesday to see this series to try to come up to Toronto.
Tremendous. You know, who threw you the baseball?
Pilar.
All right, very
Pilar
nice.
Pilar threw me the baseball. I gave my kids a bat before the game, so it was a nice afternoon. When you could pay $40 to sit about 15 rows from the field and get 10 seats, that's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Not bad. You know, I like this team. I just hope that the bottom of the lineup guys like Pilar and Travis, they can show a little patience. And you know, when these kind of go, listen, the kid was on tonight for Tampa Bay. He was throwing strikes. And I thought the eighth inning, I don't know if they faced four or five. A couple of the guys swung at the first pitch and grounded out. But you just hope the younger guys have a little patience. You know, I know Kevin Pilar hasn't walked yet this year, and Travis and. These are the kind of games where, you know, you're going to have to figure out, you know, when you get to 10 runs, it's great. You're hitting, everything's going great. But these are the games where you're going to have to walk. And I'm not talking about little ball because I don't believe in that either. But you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to make, you know, the pitcher's on. You're going to have to try to, you know, get that walk and manufacture some runs. And, you know, you just, like I said, I hope the bottom of the lineup, these guys can show a little patience and learn, to, you know, it's not that bad to take a walk or at least work the count. He was up to 80 pitches in the eighth inning. So, you know, but like I said, you know, Shai told me the first day of the season, you'll like this team. There's a lot of baseball IQ on the Blue Jays. And I could see them being an exciting team. And like I said last year, I don't think there's one team that stands out to me that's going to be dominant in this division. So I think, you know, hopefully this is the year that we can be there.
Yeah, I hope so too. And you know what? I mean, I've liked the approach. I've liked the maturity of the approach of the young players. And I'll say this. When a guy's throwing strikes, taking pitches doesn't help you. And Jake Odorizzi was throwing strikes. The pitches they swung at were strikes. And, you know, when you see a strike that you think you can hit, you swing. You taking for the sake of taking isn't a good strategy necessarily, especially when a guy's dealing. I mean, this is how great performances happen. This is how guys throw Maddox's 96 pitch complete games, things like that, by throwing strikes. And I didn't see guys going fishing today. I saw them swinging at strikes and early in counts for sure. But it's a strike, right? So
no, it's true. But Jose figured out a way to get three walks, right? I thought some of the pitches he took were rather close, but he did figure out a way. But I agree with you. You know, when the guy's on, it's tough. You know, that's the pitching wins. That's why pitching wins championships for the most part, because when a guy's on, it's tough to hit him.
Right.
The kid
exactly.
was on tonight. So.
He really was. Thanks, Russ. And yeah, Jose Bautista took three walks, but Jose Bautista gets pitched a little bit differently, pardon me, than a Kevin Pillar or a Devin Travis. Kyle in Toronto. Kyle, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks. It's been a fun week to watch baseball, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
A lot of good things. Grinding out counts often. Contact on the ball to bring runners in, and it's not necessarily base hits. Even guys laying down bunts to move runners over. You know, it's not the mindless.
I don't think we haven't had any of those yet.
Yeah, Jose Reyes did. He when one of the games earlier in the week.
Oh, but he was bunting for a hit.
Okay, well, there was a runner on first and second, though, I think, though. But it was anyways refreshing to see. And even the play there in the ninth, you know, it's an aggressive play. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just refreshing to finally see a proper, more mature approach, like you said, versus watching Colby Rasmus strike out repeatedly, killing rallies last year. And it's been, honestly, it's been fun. Tonight, it is what it is. You're going to run into these games, but... you know, it doesn't look like anybody's going to run away with the division. So play the right way, and you'll come out on top more times than not.
Yeah, one hopes so. You know, yeah, if you play the right way and you're talented and better than the other teams, then you should come out on top more often than not. And the Blue Jays are very talented, and they're better than a lot of the other teams in their division. So, so far, so good. You know, this was a tough one, no question about it. Saturday night was tough, too. But they are going to happen. There are really good pitchers in the major leagues who are paid to get really good hitters out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kyle. Blue Jays lose it 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays, their home opener. It is Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. We go to Matt in Cambridge, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mike. You'll have to excuse my voice. I'm just coming out of the stadium, and I think I did a little bit too much yelling during the game.
Nice.
I wanted to get your opinion on Russell Martin catching R.A. Dickey. My friend Chris thinks that they should put Toley in there because he believes that Toley calls a better game than Dickey, or than Martin, rather, with R.A. Dickey. But to me, I think that Toley's, you know, aside from catching R.A., he doesn't provide anything else, and Martin... I mean, how much do you have to do when you're calling a knuckleballer's game? You just keep saying throw the knuckleball over and over again. So I'm just going to hang up and listen to your thoughts on what you think about Russell Martin catching R.A. Dickey so far.
Yeah, I think he's fine. And, you know, it's a load on him for sure, mentally and physically. And we may see Josh Tolley come back at some point if Deonna Navarro gets traded. But a reason to have Tolley over Martin because of Tolley's ability to call a game is not, and that's just seems counterintuitive. You're right. The knuckleballer throws the knuckleball 80 to 90% of the time. So it's not really about game calling with Tolley and Dickey. It never has been. And Dickey's had two terrific outings so far. I mean, yeah, he issued those two bases loaded walks today. So that does make it tough to say it was a terrific outing, but that was it. That's all he did. He gave up three hits in six innings and just those two runs. So he was not the problem tonight. The problem was the fact that the Blue Jays couldn't touch Jake Odorizzi. And Russ Martin did just fine. Not a single ball to the backstop again for the second straight game, catching R.A. Dickey. So, no. You know, maybe if you can get something for Navarro, you trade him and you bring Tolley up and Tolley becomes Dickey's personal catcher. But otherwise, you stick with Navarro. And Martin catches Dickey, and so far in two regular season starts, that partnership has worked out well. Dickey's given up a total of three runs in two starts. He gave up two of them tonight, and they were his fault. Three straight two-out walks, two of them with the bases loaded in the fourth inning. And those were the only runs the Rays would get, but the only runs the Rays would need. They beat the Blue Jays 2-1. Brandon in Toronto, up next on Blue Jays Talk. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
I'm
now turn your radio down.
About Dickey not being able to get an out with the bases loaded and two strikes and two outs and pitching in a pitcher's duel in front of 50,000 people. I mean, I've never missed a home opener since the 77. I just don't understand it, man, how a guy like that can't throw a strike. But neither one of those ball fours were close.
That's the problem with the knuckleball. That's the way it works. Well, see, you have to turn your radio down like we told you before, so that way you're not hearing you while I'm talking or stuff like that. Okay, we're going to let you go. Thank you for the call. That's the deal with the knuckleball. You know, it can't always be controlled. More often than not, it can't be controlled. It goes where it wants to go, and hopefully the going where it wants to go part of it is what leads hitters to either swing and miss or make weak contact and get out a lot. But when it goes away, it goes away. And late in that fourth inning, it went away. And Dickey missed with a 3-2 pitch to DeJesus to walk in one run. And he missed with three straight two-strike pitches to Souza to walk in another run. And, yeah, I get that you're frustrated and you say, well, why can't he just throw a strike? But then do you want him to try to put a batting practice fastball in there with the bases loaded in a nothing-nothing game? I don't. Keep throwing that knuckleball until you get it right. And after the second walk, he threw another one, and Cabrera flied out on that first pitch. And the inning was over, but it can get away. And you know what? As soon as it came back, it was back. He retired seven guys in a row. When you give up two runs over six innings, that should be good enough with this offense. Tonight it wasn't. Mark in Toronto listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hey, Mark, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, in traffic on the way home. I just hope that Dickey can pitch as well as he's supposed to pitch. Number one comment, hope Russell Martin can start hitting to earn his salary. And the third thing is Pompey the right guy to bat before Batista? Maybe we need someone to get on base so it gives Batista a chance to move some guy along. Those are my questions, and I'll listen to your answers.
Only one of those things were questions. I don't know how you can have complaints with how R.A. Dickey's pitched so far this year. Again, yes, the two bases loaded walks today were frustrating, but that was all he gave up. I don't want to go over it again and again and again. He gave up two runs on three hits in six innings. Far more often than not, That's good enough to win. His first start in New York against the Yankees, he gave up a run on four hits in 6 1/3 innings. Left with the lead. Far more often than not, that's a spectacular outing. One run into the seventh inning. So R.A. Dickey has been better than fine so far this season. Russ Martin hasn't started to hit yet, but he wasn't brought over here to be a big bat. He was brought over here to make every single one of the Blue Jays pitchers better. And so far, so good with all these young guys. He's done a very, very good job learning them, stealing strikes, calling games, working well behind the plate. Martin, I think, was 1-for-23 to start his career with the Pittsburgh Pirates his first year when he came over and had to learn a new pitching staff. And this year, 1-for-20 to start. So some similarities there. That Pirates team wound up making the playoffs, getting their first winning season in over 20 years. So again, no complaints about Russ Martin. And the question was Dalton Pompey. And there's validity to that. John Gibbons likes the fact that Pompey is a switch hitter, likes the fact that he's got a good approach at the plate and has speed. And that's why he's in the two spot. I mean, again, you're saying Russ Martin can't hit. He's the other guy who was in the two spot. I think eventually that job might go to Michael Saunders. We'll see. Saunders trying to come back from the knee thing, and now he's got a little bit of a hamstring issue as well. But I don't mind giving Pompey a shot. I like the idea of Devin Travis, too. But then, you know, you still have that four straight right-handers, which I think is something that John Gibbons wants to get away from. But Pompey's getting his shot at the two spot. He's had a couple of very good games and a couple of games where he hasn't hit. So we'll see how it develops. We will take more of your phone calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on sportsnet590.ca as we continue. Blue Jays lose it 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays in their home opener. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
He swings and gets a line drive into right field. Base hit. Pilar will round third. The throw by Souza is way off and way late. An RBI single for Devin Travis. And the Blue Jays are on the board, down 2-1. That was the Blue Jays' second hit and last hit as the fire alarm starts to go off here at Rogers Center. Blue Jays lose it 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays. They only managed two hits, and they both came in that fifth inning with two out. Kevin Pillar, a soft liner to right field. Steven Souza dove for it, and it bounced over his head for a double. Travis followed with that single, and that was it. Blue Jays fall 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays, who managed only three hits themselves. But R.A. Dickey issued two bases-loaded walks with two out in the fourth inning. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls right up till 11 o'clock Eastern at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Rob in Woodbridge. Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Normally, I'm disappointed with Rogers, but tonight it was the coach, John Gibbons.
No, yeah, the manager, they call them in baseball.
No managerial skills at all with Batista stealing. On the first attempt, 3-2 count, he didn't go. And then he decides to go after a foul ball. Tonight was on the manager. And these are the games that come into play in September. If you want to play baseball in September, you got to play games in April and May.
Right. Okay,
so
thanks.
It's squarely on John Gibbons.
All right. Yes, John Gibbons managed only two hits over nine innings. Thanks for the call. It was a questionable decision, absolutely, to have Jose Bautista going on that 3-2 pitch to Edwin Encarnacion in the ninth inning. I'm actually surprised it took this long for that to come up. Tim Leeper is the first base coach. Tim Leeper has a stopwatch, and he is timing pitchers' moves, and he's timing their time to the plate till they release the ball. The Blue Jays know Rene Rivera's pop time and his throw time, and they add that stuff together. And if they feel like they've got it, really got it, they'll tell the runner to go. And we've seen John Gibbons start runners with full counts before with certain hitters up, sometimes Edwin Encarnacion, who's not a huge strikeout guy, but he's not a guy who doesn't strike out. And I saw Tim Leeper after that first 3-2 pitch go over and say something to Jose Bautista, and I'm sure he said, we've got him timed. You can get this. Let's go. And they were wrong. And Bautista was out by plenty going into second base, and as Edwin struck out, of course, they have faith, too, that Edwin's going to put the ball in play or take a walk. Sometimes you got to take chances. Sometimes you don't. I would think that with Bautista and Josh Donaldson, or pardon me, with Edwin and Josh Donaldson coming up, one swing wins you the game. Not a great time to be trying to steal a base right there, even with that 3-2 count. And I wonder if they had it to do over again, they wouldn't do it the same way. And just see what happens. Let Edwin swing away. I'm just looking to see if there's a history with Boxberger. And there can't be a significant one. He hasn't been in the major leagues that long. Edwin was 2-for-3 career against him with a double. Donaldson 0-for-1 with a strikeout. So, no, nothing significant history-wise between Brad Boxberger and the Blue Jays. But again, to say this one's on John Gibbons, that's just silly. The Blue Jays got two hits. Jamie's in Mississauga. Hey, Jamie.
Hi, Mike. How's it going? Anyways, you know what? The cut right before that pitch that Bautista stole, I mean, Edwin ripped that and tried to rip that pitch.
Oh, Edwin took about seven, he felt like, huge swings on that at bat.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it is what it is. And you're right. Don't take the chance, take the chance. But with Donaldson after that, and he's a line drive hitter, right? So could have advanced everybody. It could have been different. But, I mean, chalk it up, another loss. But, I mean, I agree with everything you've been saying tonight. The season just started. Everybody relax. But we got the bats and we have the arms. We have the bullpen that can come in for 1, 2, maybe 3 innings, but pitch hard, pitch fast, and control that plate. And I'm hoping that they do teach these young guys that they can control the plate against these big hitters in the league. Agree or disagree?
Well, that's what we've seen so far, Jamie, and thanks for the call. And, yeah, I know that whenever a reliever gives up a run, it's the end of the world. But today, 3 innings of no-hit relief, and I believe that's the 4th time this season that the Blue Jays bullpen has thrown at least 3 innings of shutout relief. So I think they're going to be just fine. I think they've got a tremendous offense. Well, they do. Whether I think they do or not, they've got a tremendous offense. I think the young pitching is going to be good, and I think this team is in very good shape. They lost tonight. They're going to lose at least twice a week all season long, sometimes more than that. And they could do that and still make the playoffs pretty easily. Adam in Brantford. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Just well, other than the fire alarm going off here, I'm doing all right.
I was at the game, and it sounds like everyone calling in was pretty disappointed. You know, I was at the game. I saw a lot of good things, and I'm still pretty impressed with the team, especially that relief pitcher, Ozuna. That guy was throwing heat.
Yeah, he was.
That guy was throwing heat, and if he's coming in all year long, I feel good about letting those guys hit the ball and having that guy come in and save the game for us. It's just one game, a long season. I think everyone just needs to relax. They're a good team. They're going to play ball. I'm gonna hang up and just listen to what you have to say about Ozuna.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Yeah, I've been incredibly impressed by Ozuna from the beginning of spring training and throughout the season. I think he's thrown 5 innings now, and he's given up 1 hit. He throws high 90s and he throws strikes, and that's what's so impressive. Miguel Castro too, and the home crowd hasn't gotten a chance to see Miguel Castro yet, and you'll be thoroughly impressed when you do. Yeah, Ozuna 5 innings with 1 hit and 7 strikeouts, and 2 walks. I think that you know, we still have to see. We haven't seen him struggle. We haven't seen Castro struggle yet either. But this is a serious arm, and why waste the bullets in A-ball or double-A when he can be getting big league hitters out, as he's shown that he can do. A lot of talk about the Blue Jays not improving the bullpen with a big name over the offseason, but Osuna and Castro, these kids look like they're going to be very, very good. And are already very, very good. Blue Jays lose 2-1 to the Rays. It's our inaugural Blue Jays talk here at Rogers Center. A disappointing home opener, to be sure, as the Jays manage only two hits, and both Tampa runs score on bases-loaded walks. Jay is in North York. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Mike. Welcome back to Toronto.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yeah, pretty frustrating loss, although a good start to the season, no doubt. I had a question about Russell Martin. He looks lost at the plate offensively. I mean, his swings are off. He doesn't seem to be making good contact. And I haven't really seen a lot of the guy. I guess when Pittsburgh was on TV, I'd see him once in a while. I don't know if he's traditionally a slow starter. Maybe you could tell me that. Or to me, it looks like something's wrong with the guy.
But you've never seen him before.
Well, I've never seen him to this extent. I watch, you know, every Blue Jay game, or at least 90% of them, but I haven't seen him enough to say that. Well, you know, like Eddie Murray way back in Baltimore had slow starts, and he always finished the year at 300, and I'm pretty confident Bautista will come around, and he's at least getting on base walking. But Martin at the plate, to me, there's something, you know what I'm saying? His swing is off. He doesn't look, you know, not that he's a 300 hitter, but my question to you was, is he traditionally a slow starter, or does it look to you like there may be something wrong, or maybe is he focusing too much on learning a lot about the new pitchers and the different guys that he's got to study up on, and his offense is struggling because of it?
Honestly, it looks to me like it's seven games into the season. I mean, and you can't draw any conclusions like that. Is he traditionally a slow starter? In 2013, he was 0-17 in his first six games, 1-21 through his first seven, and he is now 1-19 through his first six games here. So he's off to a better start then. He still wound up only hitting .226 that year, but with a .327 on base with a team that made it into the playoffs. Last year, he had a much, much, much better season, hitting .290 with a .402 on base. Let's see how he started last season. In his first six games, well, he started 3-17. So maybe he is traditionally a slow starter. Regardless, I really don't like when people call in and say that Russ Martin looks, or that any hitter looks lost at the plate, because it's impossible not to look lost at the plate when you're 1-19. That's just the way it works. Career-wise, Martin's worst month OPS-wise has been June, and April's been his best. So maybe he has really good last 2-3 weeks of April's. But the last 3 years, he's gotten off to a slow start, and I'm not worried at all. Not at all. Russ Martin can hit .150 and still have a huge positive impact on a team with the work that he does with the pitching staff. And again, good night of pitching tonight, except for a three-batter stretch where R.A. Dickey's control completely escaped him. Blue Jays lose it 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Before we get to the next caller, let's hear from the manager. What did John Gibbons have to say about the Blue Jays' home opener loss?
RA's talked a lot about trying to limit the walks this year, and that's something that kind of hurt him a little bit tonight. What did you see?
Well, yeah, I mean, he walked in those two runs, but he pitched a great ball game. He really did. I mean, we just couldn't solve Odorizzi at all. And we had the two hits, Pilar and Travis there, you know, to complete that one run. I felt good, though, in that ninth inning. You get the leadoff walk, and then Eddie chased ball forward, and then, you know, it ended on the ball to the wall. So, yeah, good crowd. We just couldn't get anything going offensively at all.
Gibby, what was Odorizzi doing that was so effective?
Well, you know, he moves the ball around pretty good. He's got a good arm. He pitches up and down. He can effectively wild, you would say. Sometimes, you know, he can't sit in there and dig in. I mean, he'll run the balls in on you hard and things like that. And he's got a good split change up there that, you know, he started developing that last year. You know, he's a pretty good pitcher. He really is. I was over in Kansas City when they picked him up in the Greinke trade, and you could tell this kid got a chance to be good, and he just developed. You know, last year he came into his own. Typically what happens when they go to Tampa, you know, they come up with those extra pitches, and they're pretty good.
John, I always talked before about sometimes when those control issues happen, he comes out of his mechanics a little bit. Did you see that at all in the fourth inning?
You know, I don't know. You'd have to ask him about that. You know, I mean, he threw the ball great all night, really. Just so, you know, those I think the balls were up, the ones that he walked the guys on. So, you know, I've talked many times how it's, you know, it's amazing how you can control that thing anyway and throw it over the plate. Now you're getting a little jammed. There's no breathing room out there. You know, it gets a little tighter. You know, it's not an easy pitch to control anyway. So, but, you know, at two runs, it's pretty good. You'll take that any day and you expect to win.
Gibby, did you think your guys were patient enough in their approach at the plate?
Yeah, for the most part, I didn't think that was a problem. You know, we have some free swingers, but that's okay, too. Those guys can do some damage.
Yeah, they can, and they're going to over the course of the season. Edwin Encarnacion, I wouldn't call them free swingers, Bautista Encarnacion and Donaldson, but... And the Blue Jays certainly don't have as many free swingers as they used to, but maybe Pilar, Travis, that kind of thing. Though, I've been really impressed with Devin Travis's approach at the plate. And Kevin Pilar's has certainly improved over the last couple of years. And those two have done some damage, and it looks like we'll continue to do some damage. Not today, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666. 0590. Taking your calls to the top of the hour, Blue Jays lose 2-1 in front of 48,414 and fall to 4-3 to start the season. Steve is in Ajax. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike. 30-year listener, first-time caller.
Wow. Well, you haven't been listening to me for 30 years, thankfully.
Almost.
Half that, maybe.
Listen, Mike, Dickey drives me crazy, and everybody who talks about him drives me crazy. I almost crashed my car when I listened to you tonight.
Oh, please, don't do that.
I can't stand it when I hear him talk about the capricious nature of his knuckleball.
But it is a capricious animal. There's nothing that can be done about it.
No, but at the end of the day, he needs to take responsibility, and you need to hold him to a higher standard than, you know, he pitched a fantastic game today.
He gave up two runs today. He gave up three hits today.
He lost, and
he didn't lose. He didn't take a single swing of the bat. He's not in control of that. If the Blue Jays had scored 11 runs today, not a single person would be complaining about the job R.A. Dickey did.
He gave up runs the worst way possible.
Yes.
And when we hear him talk, I'm sure he's not gonna take any responsibility. That's what drives me crazy. He just objectifies the knuckleball. It's not him, it's the knuckleball. And nobody else does that on the team.
Well, nobody else throws a knuckleball on the team. Have you ever known there to be a knuckleballer in the history of the major leagues who could really control it?
No,
the answer to that is no.
No, but I've never heard anybody.
Okay, how many of Tim Wakefield or Charlie Huff's post-game news conferences did you ever listen to?
Zero.
Exactly.
Okay, and are you telling me he took no responsibility?
I have no idea, but I'm telling you that he knows as well as I know, as well as you should know, that the knuckleball is an extraordinarily difficult pitch to control, that sometimes you lose it, sometimes it gets away from you, but that's what makes it such an effective weapon. And if he's going to give up two runs in six innings every time out, I will be absolutely thrilled with that. And you should be too.
The walking in the walk. the runs just drove me nuts.
Yeah, it's terrible. No one's denying that. It's terrible. But again, if the Blue Jays score more than once, it's all right.
And wait a second.
Okay.
You also didn't seem to have issue with that whole ridiculous Batista thing.
Well, I wouldn't say I didn't have an issue with it. I did say that if they had it to do over again, they probably wouldn't have done it.
I would hope so. It's just, I'm so excited about the season. And, to give away this game and to give away the one at Yankee Stadium, it just ticks me off.
They did give away the game at Yankee Stadium. I will give you that. When you score one run, you didn't give away anything. Tonight, they did not give away this game. They didn't hit, and that's why they lost. They didn't lose because R.A. Dickey walked two guys with the bases loaded. They didn't lose because Jose Bautista got thrown out stealing in the ninth inning. They lost because they scored one run on two hits. And when you get one run on two hits, you should lose.
No, that's not true. Dickey lost the game because he walked in both those runs. Otherwise, it's 1-0 Jays.
And you feel like you should expect a pitcher to throw a shutout.
You feel like you should expect a pitcher
to throw a shutout.
R.A. Dickey has not performed the way anyone expected him to since we got him. We gave up a lot for him. We paid a lot for him. He needs to be held to that Cy Young standard. He's not delivered. And he lost today. If you want to call it a pitcher's duel, he lost. He gave up the two runs. We could have won 1-0.
Steve, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, if you're expecting pitchers to not give up any runs every time out, then I have no response to that.
Well, you obviously are.
You expected a shutout from R.A. Dickey because the Blue Jays only scored one run. If they had scored three, you would have been fine with him giving up two, right?
No, not the way he gave it up.
Okay, right. But it wouldn't have been the end of the world giving up two runs and only two runs because the Blue Jays scored three.
No, you see what I'm trying to show you here? No, because he's
you're blinded by rage.
He has to come out on top.
Pardon?
In a game like this, he needs to come out on top.
Why?
He needs to come out on top.
Why?
He's the MVP that we paid a boatload of money for and gave Travis for.
First of all, they did not pay a boatload of money to R.A. Dickey. He's only making, like, what, $11, $12 million a year, which is nothing for a Cy Young Award winner. Secondly, yeah, they gave up Travis d'Arnaud and Noah Syndergaard, who have combined to this point to have done nothing in the major leagues. So complaining about the price paid for, so far, two 200-inning seasons of R.A. Dickey of better-than-average production and two very good starts to this point in the season just doesn't get anywhere. I understand you're upset, and I understand your rage has blinded you, but I'm glad you called to talk about it, but you got to understand you can't expect R.A. Dickey to be able to not give up any runs in the games where his team only scores once. I appreciate the call. Ryan is in Whitby. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, thanks.
Good. All right, so first off, I don't know about the last caller. Like, I feel a little bit dumber for just listening to that because everybody's been chirping R.A. Dickey since spring training, and, like, it's actually ridiculous. Like, I agree 100% with everything you just said. Dickey did not lose the game for us, just like his last start. He did not lose the game for us. The last start,
he left with the lead.
Yeah, exactly. In my personal opinion, obviously it was Loop that cost us last game because he had loaded the bases and then everybody's going to blame Brett Cecil.
Well, Brett Cecil did throw a wild pitch and hit a guy with the bases loaded. Let's say the two of them combined to lose that game. How about that?
All right. Yeah, that's fair. But when it comes to this game, I mean, the bats, like the Jays' bats were quiet tonight opposed to the last few games that they played, even during spring training. When you take a victory of 12-5, 12-7, 10-7 against Baltimore the other night?
12-5 on Friday and 10-7 yesterday.
Yeah, okay. So when you take those two combined scores and just have an amazing game and an amazing outing from the Jays, and then to lose a game 2-1, obviously that's not all on the pitcher. That's going to be just strictly on the bats, too, especially when you only have the two hits of the game, or one hit that they did, right?
Two hits, yeah. Now, you can't expect to win a game when your team only gets two hits. You can't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing I kind of, like, some of the calls, I think, at the plate were a little bit on edge. I mean, a couple of them looked at, like they were balls when they were called strikes, but regardless, overall, I mean, I think the Jays did really well. It was the first game of this series, and considering the fact that they've won the past two series, even though they've lost one game against the Yankees and one against Baltimore, if they can take like this next three, I mean, I have good confidence in Daniel Norris tomorrow, and then with Mark Burley obviously on the mound on Wednesday. When it comes to Thursday against Sanchez versus Chris Archer, that's going to be a questionable kind of matchup. Hopefully he can recover from his last start. But I definitely think that this year the Jays are going to make – I don't want to say they'll make playoffs because like they did it so well last year. They had meaningful baseball into September. All the pieces are looking good. All the young kids, I mean, with Castro and like with them pitching and all that, they've been doing pretty well overall.
Yes, they're off to a very good start. Ryan, I got to let you go. I want to get to a couple more people. This is a team that you shouldn't feel scared to be excited to get excited about. This is going to be a very good team, despite the fact that they lost tonight in their home opener. Ryan in Hamilton. Ryan,
how's it going, Mike?
All right, thanks.
Just coming back from the game right now, I just like to say Odrizzi pitched a great game. All ground outs, all flyouts, not much the bats can do. Big problem was Dickey walking in the runs, but I'd like to attest that to Russell Martin and Dickey just not really being on the same page yet. It's going to take a bit of time, and people need to get used to that.
Yeah, I don't think that had anything to do with it, honestly. R.A. Dickey's throwing a knuckleball, and Russ Martin, his only job is to catch it. They don't have to be on the same page, nothing. He's just got to catch the ball, and Dickey's got to throw strikes.
But how many times has Martin caught a knuckleball in his career? None, right?
Right, but what does that have to do with Dickey not throwing strikes?
It's a big pitch to get accustomed to. I don't know if you've ever played catcher or not.
I understand that. My question is, what does that have to do with Dickey being able to throw strikes?
Well, you're right. He was missing the zone a lot tonight.
Uh-huh.
And that was a big problem as well. But at the same time, maybe they just need some time to get on the same page. Like, Tolley and Dickey are, I think they're a perfect pair. Dickey won a Cy Young catching with them, right?
Yes, he did. But again,
another
again,
big problem I have with the team is Gibby as manager. I think with a payroll like this and a team like this, you need a proven manager. You look at the Cubbies, they went out and got Joe Maddon this year. A lot of big managers were on the market, and the Jays still stuck with Gibby. I just don't think he's the right manager to lead this team to where we need to go. I'll let you comment on that, and have a good night, Mike.
All right. Thank you. You know, I'm sure, if you've ever listened to the show before, that I think you're wrong. I don't think a name makes a manager. Certainly Joe Maddon did not have a name when he became the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. I think what you want from a manager is a guy who consistently puts his players in positions where they're likeliest to succeed. And John Gibbons does that. John Gibbons is very, very good at putting his players in a position where they're likeliest to succeed. And that is all a manager could do. You want to blame John Gibbons for tonight's loss? John Gibbons didn't get two hits in nine innings tonight. All you can ask for. Managers can't make players play better. They can't make pitchers pitch better. They're not magic. All they can do is put their players in a position where they're likeliest to succeed. And I think, honestly, that John Gibbons is great at that. So, no, I don't have a problem with John Gibbons. And I don't have a problem with Blue Jays talk, but it's over. Coming up next, Sportsnet Tonight with Jeff Sammet. He'll have more Blue Jays calls. He'll have Ben Nicholson-Smith. He'll have Arden Zwelling. All coming up right at the top of the hour. Jeff Sammet on Sportsnet Tonight. We are back tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern, for 7:07 First Pitch. Daniel Norris against Matt Andrees. Thanks for all the calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. I'm Mike Wilner. Tom Young is here. Brian Calhoun and Derek Brandeo are there. So are J.D. Bunkus and Michael Chesney. Good night from Rogers Center.